Our scripture today is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin reading in verse 23. And before we begin that reading, let me say just a few words about the overall setting of what we're looking at here. Remember that the section that we're discussing is a section in this book about matters of conscience, matters of culture, matters of option, matters that many people would say are matters of indifference. In other words, these are not things that are wrong in themselves, but depending upon the circumstances, depending on the situation, Christians might want to avoid certain things, even though they're not sinful in and of themselves. So Paul has talked in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 about eating meats that had been previously offered to idols. He's going to talk about that from a slightly different standpoint in this section that we're looking at. Remember, too, that there is a bigger picture. Remember that the Bible teaches us to look out for each other as Christians. In other words, Paul is teaching in this section not just to sort through these issues and be able to come up with the right answer about them. Paul says, have the right attitude toward fellow Christians. And he introduces that thought, actually, when he begins this section in chapter 8, verse 1, where he says that knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. And so the thread that runs throughout this section is to love one another and to look out for each other's own best good. So let me read just a couple of other passages in some other books of the Bible that show that this is very important in the church. In Romans 15, after Paul talked about matters of conscience in chapter 14, said in chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 of the book of Romans, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And then in verse 3, he looks at Jesus as the best example of that attitude. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Another passage is Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he also cites Jesus again as the perfect example of unselfishness. And that really is a part of love. When you love somebody, you are unselfish. When you are selfish, that means that you don't have the love that you should. And so Paul is teaching these Christians at the church at Corinth, and he's teaching us today that we shouldn't be so self-centered that we look at an issue that is not really a big issue to begin with and say, well, I know better than that. And these people think, and they're conscientiously convinced that it's wrong, and so I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway because I don't care what they think. Paul said we ought to have a regard. We ought to have a certain love. And we ought to have patience with people that don't understand. And we should not, by our words or by our example, push those people into doing something that their conscience condemns, even if that particular thing is not wrong in itself. Now, that in a nutshell is what we're looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But let's read the passage beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Of course, he's not talking about anything whatsoever. He's not talking about sinful things. He's not saying that fornication is acceptable to God or that stealing would be acceptable to God. He's talking about all things that are matters of conscience or matters of culture. And so he says, these things are lawful to do. There's no sin in eating meat that has been previously offered to an idol. But it may not be expedient. It may not be beneficial. It may not be for the best as far as fellow Christians are concerned. And you may not edify other people. As a matter of fact, you may pull down those people in the Christian life. And so notice what Paul says in verse 24 about this. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That's the same spirit of love that we looked at in Romans 15 and in Philippians 2 and throughout the Bible. The spirit of love says to seek your brother's own best good, even if it means denying yourself, even if it means sacrificing, even if it means that you have to be patient and forbearing, because other people in the church are patient with us, so we should be patient with other people. There's no one person that has the answers to everything or that does everything right. So if we want fellow Christians to be patient with us, then we need to be patient with them. Let's seek another's own wealth and not just be looking out for ourselves all the time. That is love. And remember that he's going to give us that famous love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you read all of this before, it makes even more sense. It's even more powerful when you finally read that love chapter, because these Christians at the church at Corinth had a problem with pride. Some of these people were lifted up with arrogance, and the way that they looked at this issue was, well, there's nothing wrong with eating that food, and I don't care what they think. And so they would just run over those weak and unlearned and new Christians. Paul said you don't have the right attitude and you need to rethink what you're doing. So he gives an example here, beginning in verse 25. Now here's the situation. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The word shambles in verse 25 in the King James Version is an old word for a meat market. Now, these Christians then would go into a city or go into a town and they would buy food. Sometimes the food that was on display and for sale was meat that had been previously offered to an idol and then sold to these people who were the vendors at that market. Well, these vendors are not selling that food to try to worship an idol, and somebody that buys that food is not trying to worship an idol. That food is just food. Paul has already talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. There's nothing wrong with that meat in and of itself. As long as you're not praying to that idol, as long as you're not making an offering or a sacrifice or worshiping that idol in some way, because there is no connection in your mind to idolatry, there's nothing wrong in and of itself with eating that meat. But suppose you have a Christian that does not understand that. Suppose you have a new Christian especially who thinks that if you eat that meat, for some reason, you are partaking of idolatry. In his mind, he can't separate the idol worship service from the meat that had been offered there and was later used for a completely different purpose. So Paul said, remember, in verse 26, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God put this food here for us to use. Here's the specific situation then. Suppose somebody that is not a Christian invites you as a Christian to a dinner. Verse 27, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go. Now, that shows that the Christian has a choice in it. The Christian could just say, no, I don't want to go. I would rather not go. He can turn down that invitation. But if you do accept that invitation and go to that feast, he said, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now again, the setting here is meat that has been offered to an idol and later sold at a marketplace. So he says, go ahead and eat. Don't ask any questions. Don't ask the man that invited you, where did you get that food? Where did this meat come from? There's no need in stirring up a controversy where there is none. But in verse 28, he says, if any man say to you this is offered in sacrifice unto idols. In other words, this was offered to an idol, and then it was sold later, and that's what's on the plate here, so to speak. If somebody says that to you, then don't eat for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, conscience, I say, not your own, but of the other. For why is my liberty, that is my liberty to eat these things, judged of another man's conscience? Now, I believe that as you look at this, there are two groups or two different kinds of people that are talked about. Look at verse 27. If any of them that believe not invite you to a feast, he says, you go ahead and eat whatever is set before you. So there we have a non-Christian inviting a Christian to come and eat with that person. But in verse 28, we have somebody who says that meat was offered to an idol. Well, that person wouldn't be the non-Christian. The man in verse 28 is not the person in verse 27. This person in verse 28 evidently is another Christian, because the man that invited this Christian to come certainly wouldn't set food before the Christian and have some problem about it. He's a non-believer, and so he's not going to have any problem in eating meat offered to an idol. But a new Christian, a Christian who has a weak conscience about these things, who is also invited or also present at that meal, that's what's going on evidently in verse 28. That person might speak up and say to you as a Christian, that was offered to an idol. And Paul says he's saying that because he has a conscientious objection to it. He cannot conscientiously eat that food. If he does, he will believe and feel that he has sinned, even though there's nothing sinful in itself. That is what his conscience leads him to do. So Paul says because his conscience is tender about that, and he's really uninformed or misinformed about that, he doesn't understand how to separate the two, then go ahead and not eat that food. Don't eat because of him that showed it and because of his conscience. Now remember, we're not talking about a simple gripe here. We're not talking about a mere difference of opinion. We're not talking about a situation where one Christian looks at another and says, well, you shouldn't eat that food because it's too fatty. Or you shouldn't eat that food because, after all, these unbelievers like it. That's not the problem. The problem is that this Christian honestly and conscientiously thinks that it's sinful to eat that food. So Paul says in verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, that is, an occasion of stumbling or a stumbling block, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, this is exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. He said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. So Paul says, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to deny myself, even if it's something that might be a pleasure. I'm willing to do that for the good and for the edification of another Christian. Now, what we're going to see as we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is that Paul is going to talk about another matter of culture, and that is the covering that he discusses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 16.